Hello guys, I am so excited for today. Yes, my name is Elizabeth and I am the host of Christian Talk with Betty, a Christian podcast where faith, inspiration, and meaningful conversations come together. And I am so excited to share everything with you guys. I really thank God for allowing me to be a vessel to anyone who is listening. Yes, I'm so grateful to God. And I'm really elated to be doing this. This has been something I have been praying for a very long time. And the Lord has caused it upon me. And we're just going to start. We're just going to get to it. Hallelujah. So today, basically, I'm going to be talking about my testimony. I feel it's a very good opener to the podcast. And you guys can get more understanding of who I was before I met Christ and who I am right now. Recently, I got some people ask me how I found Christ, knowing fully well I wasn't a devoted Christian right from time. And I'm so excited to share my testimony with you guys. And it is my prayer that you get blessed as you listen. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm 22 years old right now. Yes, I'm very young, a very young girl. I was born into a Christian home, raised in the way of the Lord, but I strayed from that path. I strayed from that path. Because back then, I wasn't really interested in getting, you know, devoted to God or, you know, serving God there. Because it wasn't my interest then. So whenever my parents just, you know, corrected me, whenever they corrected me and, you know, just tell me, you know, they told me what I was doing then was not what I should do as a Christian, as a, you know, but I always feel I could do things based on my own terms. I felt I could make my choice then. So I became so disobedient to them and it got them really concerned about me. And, you know, the funniest thing is I was always the one leading praise and worship during our devotion and even in church, in my local church then. I used to be the one to lead praise and worship. It's not like I don't listen to the Word of God. I listen to the Word of God every day, but it didn't occur to me to just, you know, walk in that path to get devoted to Christ, because most of the friends I had back then were, you know, were birds of the same feather, so we flocked together. I never wanted to be separated. I never wanted to be different from them because I loved our caucus then. I loved our, you know, togetherness then. So I wasn't ready to just say I want to give my life to Christ or I want to live a dedicated life to Christ. So that was who I was right from time. And it got to a point I had to, you know, further my education, and I gained admission to a Christian, you know, high school, secondary school then, and it was a boarding school. So my parents actually enrolled me into that school with the hope that I would not just, you know, get sound in my education or get more grounded in education, but also my spiritual life can be affected. I can, you know, have relationship with God. Maybe when I see others, maybe, you know, being a Christian school, they are going to guide us, everyone, we're going to give our life to Christ, and, you know, maybe I can just encounter Christ when I got to the school. But it wasn't like that, because when I actually got to that school, I became worse. Like, I became worse, and my parents had no option than to withdraw me from that school when it got to a point they couldn't take it anymore. And one thing I would like to share with you during my stay in that school was that I had friends that we just love to live our lives, you know, we loved to enjoy ourselves. We loved to just do anything anyhow. We do not want to, you know, we don't want anybody to just correct us or make us feel like we don't want to enjoy ourselves. Like, I don't really know how to put that word, but we just wanted to do things anyhow. We just wanted to enjoy her stay there. We just wanted to enjoy ourselves doing anything we like insulting each other, you know, being a play now. So we never wanted anybody to just, you know, tell us that what you're doing is bad or no. So we thought when we give our life to Christ, we will be restricted from doing a lot of things, and that was not what we wanted. So I remember vividly as a teenager in a Christian school, I would pray for salvation every Sunday. I mean, each time I remember this, I always laugh. Like, I couldn't control the laughter each time I remember this. Like, I would cry every Sunday, myself and my friends, because we do sit together. And at the end of every sermon, we just fall on our knees and we just shed tears. It got to a point, the tears became, you know, a competition between us. We wanted to know who could cry the more. Very funny. Very funny. You know, we cry every Sunday. Personally, tears will stream down my face, but I couldn't escape the grip of my whole life. But, you know, those tears were not genuine. It wasn't, they were fake, crocodile tears. So after service, we go back to our whole life. We go back to insulting each other. We go back to, you know, gossiping, you know, all those stuffs. And it continued like that. But there was a particular Sunday I genuinely wanted to surrender my life to Christ. But after that service, you know, I decided to just be that good girl, be a Christian girl. I wanted to serve God. But after the service, you know, after the service, I'll just find myself doing those things I said I was going to stop doing. So it was like that for a very long time. And, you know, those tears actually was because of the fact that those preachers then, they preach with this, I don't know where that, should I say forced? Should I say they preach with force or they preach with power? And at the end of every sermon, I'll just feel, you know, moved by the words, by the pastor's words, and I'll just cry. Not really a genuine desire to surrender, actually. It was just the words of the pastors that always get to me and my friends. So I was for a very long time a liar, you know. For a very long time, I was a bedwetter. And to top it all, I was a thief. Yes, I began stealing from my friends, you know, in that school. I would go to their bag, I would steal from them. And, you know, and from others who were not even my friends. So far, you have something that I really wanted to just taste out of it, or I really wanted it to be mine. I was stealing it from them. And one day I was caught. I was caught red-handed, caught in the act. And, you know, I had a guardian then, was like my aunt. And I was reported to her. She disciplined me, and other teachers as well, they disciplined me. And when my mom got to know, she was really, really disappointed. And she had no option than just to withdraw me from that school. But my rebellious spirit persisted. Being withdrawn from that school didn't stop me from still being that bad girl that I was. In fact, it got worse when I entered into, you know, another school, when I got enrolled into another school where I continued my high school education, because I met another set of friends. And these friends were just like the other friends I had in my boarding school. So there was no change, there was no difference. I would steal from my mom's shop, take it to school, enjoy those snacks, those junks with my friends, and like that for a very long time. None of them actually corrected me. None of them told me what I was doing was bad, because we enjoyed it together. We were birds of the same feather. And so there was nobody to correct me. Although I had some friends, classmates, that were godly. And someone out of them actually called my attention to the fact that I was not doing something good. But I got so pissed, I insulted her, I called my other friends to come insult her with me. And ever since then, that girl never talked to me. We only greeted each other. So that was it. And to to continue, my behavior got worse when I entered into a relationship with a guy. And this guy is not even a Christian, a non-Christian. But because I was so desperate for love, because I was in the cycle of friends who had boyfriends. And, each time they talk about the boyfriends, I always get jealous. I always wanted to just have that experience of love as well. So when I got a guy who asked me out, I didn't even consider if he was a Christian or not. I didn't even give it any thought. I accepted him, and that was how, things got more worse. It got more worse that I spiraled into a cycle of stealing more from my parents. I'll steal money, I'll steal things from my mom's shop just to please this guy, as young as I was. I mean, it was just so terrible. I would steal money, I would just put them together, I would give it to this guy because he was always demanding money from me. He was demanding a lot of things, and I feel this is love. Let me just show him that I love him, how much I loved him. Then I'll just put everything together and I'll give it to him then. But it got to a point my parents found out, especially my brother. He actually found out and told my mother. And when he found out, he got so angry. Even my parents got so angry that it actually affected, my education. Then it affected it, and my brother would beat me up. His beatings actually left some physical scars on my body, but my heart remained unchanged. I loved the guy. The more I was being beaten, the more I loved him, because I felt I was suffering for love's sake. It was just a terrible, so terrible. And I remember I would call my friends together, whenever we have a short break in school, and just gist them about this newfound love of mine. Then there was a day, one of my teachers actually walked up to me and, asked me if I was born again. I wouldn't comprehend why he asked, because I was actually surprised why he asked that kind of question. And I replied him. I remember I said I haven't given my life to Christ. He further asked me why. I told him because I wasn't ready. He asked again why. I told him because I wasn't interested in giving my life to Christ. And because even if I, gave my life to Christ, then I knew I'll just be deceiving myself, because I wasn't ready to leave the kind of friends I was moving with. And I know that if I accepted Christ, then I'd be left with no option than just to leave those friends and the boyfriend I just, got, the relationship I just got into. So I explained to him, and he laughed, he grinned so much, and he just advised me. He preached to me, because that time was during a long break. So he had time to just talk with me, to discuss with me. Like I said, I couldn't comprehend why he asked, but his words actually stayed with me. I kept thinking all those words he said. But then at some point, I was just thinking of my mind and just felt, anytime I'm ready, I'm going to give my life to Christ. Things actually reached a point where I was publicly disgraced at school because I have stolen so much from my mom. And when my sister got to know as well as my brother, I was being reported to my guardian in school, in this new school, and he, you know, reported me to the principal, and they actually disgraced me openly, or, you know, in the presence of every other student. And of course, I was embarrassed, I was disgraced, but I still clung to my destructive relationship. I still continued to, in fact, when I got home that day and, you know, nobody was there, I still entered a shop, steal some stuff. I stole some money just so I could give to my boyfriend. So it didn't really get to me. All those things, all those beatings, all those disgrace, all those insults never got to me, never changed me. I never thought of changing at those points. You know, facing all those, facing all those stuffs. And it continued that way. So it got to a point I was so, so angry at my parents and at my siblings. And for the very first time, I absconded from home. I ran away from home, not knowing where I was going. I remember I would just, you know, knock on anybody's door to ask if they could just take me in, that I have nowhere to go, I am coming from... It was just so funny. And when I saw that I couldn't go anywhere, I had to go back home. And I just, you know, had to go back home, not knowing that they were already searching for me all around. And I almost bumped into my brother, but I had to just rush into somebody's house, not knowing I had already trespassed in that person's house. I just got there just to hide myself. And after some, you know, moments, I had to go back home. Although I was beating my brother, you know, really disciplined me that night. My mom was so, so angry and was ready to just give up on me and just, you know, just send me out of the house. She didn't care where, you know, how it'd go, but she was so tired of me, and I really understand. But, you know, after much pleas, you know, from our neighbors, you know, they pleaded on my behalf, and she had to just accept me back. And the following day, I remember, because that day, that night I ran away, I took her money. So the following day, she was searching for the money, and she knew, obviously, I was, you know, the only thief in their house. So she asked, she told my brother to just get the money back from me. And when my brother came to me, I told him I left it in the house I ran into. So when I go back to that house just to search for the money and just take it away, just take the money and leave, I was caught by the owner of the house, and this man got so angry that I could just, you know, run into his house like that and, you know, like a thief or something. So he had to call the police on me. And for the very first time in my life, I got arrested for, is it trespass or trespassing? So I got arrested. None of my family wanted to follow me, not my mother, not my, because, you know, it was so, so disgracing and embarrassing. So when I got to the station, you know, the police asked that they take me back home, that somebody has to follow me. And my sister actually did follow me, and we wrote a statement, and I was sternly warned not to ever try such again. And my sister insulted me. I cried that day. I remember she cried, my brother cried, my mom was so angry. But my tears were not genuine. I wasn't ready to stop, because I still remember I had a love then. So I always felt, I don't want to change. I wasn't ready to change. So I continued with my boyfriend. And when my brother got to know about it, he would beat me. He would take me to this guy's house to just, you know, warn them never to, you know, associate themselves with me. And warn the guy not to ever come beside me again, but it never stopped. One way we'll still get to see each other, we'll still get to catch up with each other. So I actually saved some money that I stole from my mom too, but she is a phone, so I got a very small phone that I could always use to get in contact with this guy. And one day my mom got to know about this phone and she seized it. So when she left the sitting room, I had to take the phone and run away. So I ran away from the house again, but this time I actually came back the same night. I had to run, you know, because I know there are a lot of things on that phone that I wouldn't want them to see. So when I came back, because she was so hungry, I had to come back with somebody, one of my friend's father, to come beg, you know, on my behalf. And she forgave me. I entered the house. My dad came the other day, you know, the next day, to beat me, to scold me. It destroyed the phone. And I was really happy. I was happy that it destroyed the phone because I never wanted them to see what was on that phone. So I felt cornered at home. I had to run away for the very second time. You know, I was just so tired. This time I ran to a very distant town, you know, somewhere very, very far from home. I didn't know where I was going. Not that we do not have any relatives in that town, but of course there is no way I will go to their house and they won't ask me what happened. So I didn't want anybody to just know my whereabouts. I don't want anybody to just, you know, be involved in my life anymore because I felt like they hated me. So I didn't even tell my boyfriend because I had no phone to get across to him, and I couldn't go to his house again because his mother never wanted me to come around their house. So I just went there with the hope that I'm going to get somebody to adopt me or just take me in or just, you know, accept me as a maid. I was ready for anything. And I just went ahead to search for shops I could go to beg them to, you know, allow me be their maid. I was rejected by a number of people because they didn't know me, obviously. I begged for shelter from people. I had to beg for, you know, some food because I had not eaten anything that day. So I actually found a kind woman who offered me a chance. You know, she said she was actually ready to take me in, you know, take care of me, and, you know, what I would eat wasn't a problem to her or for her. But first, she had to talk with one of my family members so she would know that at least I have a family. She would know that I am not on a mission, you understand, maybe to destroy her or something. But, you know, she actually gave me a phone to make a call to somebody she could speak with. But I couldn't call anybody because I knew that at that time, they would have been searching for me because I left home very early before my mom even woke up. I sneaked out of the house. I didn't know where that courage and that boldness actually came from. Oh my goodness, the devil is a liar. So I chose to call my boyfriend instead of a family. I chose to call my boyfriend, not knowing my boyfriend had been arrested. Because the way he sounded on phone when I told him I left the house was kind of suspicious, but I never cared. So I handed the call, and immediately another number called, an unknown number, and it happened to be a police. So I heard, "You need to report to the station, the owner of this phone." I had to just end the call immediately and give the phone back to the woman, not knowing the number was still going to call again. So when the woman picked, she screamed. I was like, she does not know anybody in that town, and she had no affairs with anybody that could, you know, warrant her to report herself to a police station. So the policeman actually told her that there is a lady there with her. And she said yes. So the policeman actually told her not to allow me leave, that they were going to come and get me. So that was actually how I was found. And all thanks to God, because if I wasn't found that day, I don't know what could have become of me. I don't know where I would be right now. I don't just know. And I can't begin to just imagine. All thanks to God. So very late at night, the policemen came. They took me. We went to the nearest police station to just pass the night. And the next day, we headed to my town. And when we got back, I was taken to the station for the very second time. And I wrote a statement. You know, the policemen were very, you know, pleased at how I wrote and, you know, the way I talked and all those stuffs. I could see my boyfriend had been tortured because he actually proved stubborn with them. So when my mom came and saw me, she was like, okay, everything should just end right there. That I wasn't going to follow her back home because I had done, you know, I had just done the very last thing she could take. So for the very first time, you know, I'd never experienced that. I've never heard of it. This policeman actually knelt down. The men prostrated, you know, to actually plead on my behalf. They begged my mother to please allow me stay with her because they see that I have a bright future and all those stuff. I wasn't punished. I wasn't disciplined. And that really got my mom surprised that at least they had to beat me. They had to discipline me. In fact, she told them to discipline me, but they said they wouldn't want to do that. That they were sure that I would change. And that was how we left the station. And yes, that was how we left the station that day. And I told my mom, I begged her when I got home that I was going to change, but I never did. I never did. Despite all this, I didn't leave my relationship. And it got to a point that I was tired of that guy, had to move to another relationship. I got another guy, you know, I ventured into another relationship with another guy. And it was time for me to further my education. It was time for me to go to the university. But because of this attitude that, you know, had not changed, my parents were not in full support of, you know, me going to the university because they felt, what if I just go there and turn something else? Because I was still under them and I could still, you know, be doing all those bad things, terrible things. What if I get to the university? What would I do? But after much plea from other family members, my brother, in fact, my brother was in support of me not going to the university. He actually cried because he was just so tired. And that tears were not because he hated me. It was actually because he loved me and he just wanted me to change. So I begged him, he cried and was like, I really need to change. And I promised I was going to change. And as God will help me, I got admission into the university. I gained admission. And I was still in a relationship with one guy, a very new guy. So I felt I actually loved this guy. So when I got to the university, I had the plan of, you know, attending a fellowship and, you know, the plan to change. But each time I think about this relationship, I didn't want that relationship to, you know, to end. And if I say I had given my life to Christ, this guy will leave me alone because he's somebody who is not even interested in anything, God or whatever. So I couldn't say I wanted to give my life to Christ. So I chose the relationship over God. And I didn't leave that relationship until I was broken beyond repair. It actually broke my heart. You know, for the very first time I would experience that, it broke my heart. It left me. He said he wasn't interested in the relationship again. And I remember I cried, I wept, I shed tears. And I was willing to, you know, surrender my life to Christ then. So when I surrendered my life to Christ and said I have accepted Him as my Lord and Savior, it wasn't up to let me say a few months later, I met another guy, another ungodly guy, and I fell in love with him. But I already made a decision to follow Christ, so I had to just say no to Jesus and yes to this guy. That was a very foolish decision. And this relation did not even last a year. It ended in tears again. And for the second time, I had to say, God, please, I am sorry. I want to serve you. And it's just so funny and at the same time, really, really disheartening. But I just bless God for changing me completely. I thank God for my life today, because each time I just think about where I've been coming from or where, who I was before now, all I could just say is, thank you, Jesus. I'd gotten myself in relationships that really, really, really left me shattered. It got to a point I started messing with my purity. And that's the biggest mistake I had ever did, I had ever committed. But thank God for new life. Thank God for new life. Because I see everything to be in the past. So thank God. So the very last relationship I ventured into that left me shattered again and that ended, in tears again. After that relationship, I decided to genuinely surrender my life to Christ, because I remember that day was a Friday and the following Sunday I went to church, and it was as if the pastor, God told the pastor what he should preach about. Like, it was as if the pastor was talking to me. The message actually struck to me like lightning, and I was ready to just surrender. This time, truly surrender. I remember I fell on my knees and was just, I was welled up in tears. I was crying, thinking about everything that I had done right from my young age till that very moment. How I had messed up myself, how I had, just devalued myself in those relationships. I just kept, those thoughts were coming, and all I could just do was just cry. And I summoned the courage to walk up to a leader to just pour my heart. And thank God this person, spoke to me, spoke the word of God to me, encouraged me that there is still chance, there is still hope for me, and that I could still, serve God, and I could still be used. I can be used by God. I believed so much in everything he said to me, and I just held on to it, coupled with some other, leaders that I, spoke to, and they encouraged me. I had some sisters I walked up to, and they all encouraged me and prayed with me and prayed for me. And I decided to unequivocally serve God. I decided to stick with him. I decided to stand, to walk with him and to work for him all the rest of my life. I decided I was not ready to go back to my old life. I decided I was just going to stick to God. And I also remember that during one holiday when I came home, my brother spoke to me, and his words actually struck my heart. And he spoke some words that I cannot just forget, and I just said it again that yes, I'm going to serve God till eternity, till my last breath. I told God, I'm ready. I just said yes to God and yes to him alone. And my brother would send me some messages to listen to or to download and listen to. And that was how I fell in love with listening to sermons online. That was how I fell in love with Apostle Joshua Selma, because his messages actually changed everything about me. Each time I just listen to a sermon, I would just cry, I would write a lot of things down, I would pray. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at first, but with God's grace, I embarked on a transformational journey. I mean, I decided to just keep praying, keep studying the word. There are times I would carry the Bible and I would not even understand anything. But all I would do is, sometimes I would search online what those Bible verses actually mean, and I would understand. If there is anything I got from those verses, I would write them down. And that was how it started. That was how the journey started. And it has been really, really, really sweet. It has been the sweetest experience I had ever had in my life, in my whole existence. Sometimes I always wish I had given my life to Christ right from that young age. But I still remain thankful to God that I am in Him, even this moment. Because if I had not given my life to Christ, I'm sure it's either I would have been dead by now, or I'll just have been, you know, I can't really imagine what I would have become right now, or who I would have been right now. But I thank God that He accepted me. I have the Holy Spirit reside in me, and I'm just so grateful. So I started praying earnestly. I'll study the Bible, I'll pray tirelessly, and I just felt God's strength guiding me all along. I tasted His goodness. Just as, you know, Psalm 38 verse, is it Psalm 30, 34 verse 8, if I'm right. Yeah, Psalm 34 verse 8, that says, taste His goodness and see that the Lord is good. I tasted His goodness and I never looked back. I never desired to go back to the world. I had so many temptations, you know. Some of these guys were coming back to me, telling me they wanted us to go back together. You know, I had so many temptations, but God, it was just God that helped me through. It was God indeed, because it got to a point I wanted to just consider, you know, going back to the world. Although, the very first time I accepted Christ wasn't the only time. You know, I had accepted my Christ, like I said, I had accepted Christ before and still find myself backslid and just go back to doing the things I said I never wanted to do. But this time around, the very last time I said, God, I accept you and I say yes to you, I was so, so, so serious about it. And it was a genuine surrender. And everything, there was a particular day I spoke to a sister. I was telling her that me saying that I have given my life to Christ, does that mean that all my sins are gone? Does that mean I have a new life? Does that mean God will not still be thinking about my past? But she made me understand from the scripture that there is no condemnation for me. So each time the devil wants to bring the thought of my past, you know, bring it to my heart, or, you know, bring it across my heart to just think about, all I do say is this Romans 8 verse 1, that there is no condemnation for me because I am in Christ Jesus, because I have Christ right now. So the thought of my past cannot make me feel less of myself, cannot make me feel, you know, bad about myself, cannot make me return to being, you know. There was a time I was actually praying and the devil actually spoke to me that God cannot listen to my prayer, God cannot answer my prayer because I have no relationship with Him, because I do not know Him, because He does not know me. And, you know, it was just bringing a lot of things, it was just saying a lot of things to me. And I just spoke the word of God that I am a new creation. I said that I am a new creation because I am now in Christ. I have a new life. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am no more gripped by sin. I'm no more gripped by the devil, because I know the only thing, his only mission on earth is just to destroy life, just as it is stated in John 10:10. So I always, that's why I love to study the Bible most times, because there are so many things I'll come across and I'll begin to just affirm them and say them to the face of the devil, just as Jesus did when he was being tempted. It is important that we immerse ourselves in studying the Word of God. It is not easy. I wouldn't say it's easy, because at first, I don't understand. I would just read. I would just study there, but I don't understand. But as I kept persisting, as I kept going, as I kept doing it on and on, over and over again, God began to, you know, the Holy Spirit began to help me, began to grant me understanding. And I can say today that I wouldn't have been here if not for the mercy of God. I would have been consumed if not for his mercy, his love. And I am just so happy to say this. Everything that I have said might not really, but it's just my testimony. It's just my testimony. And I just bless God. Because now I have found my identity, my true identity in him. And I can boast of him. I can boast of his goodness anywhere and everywhere. And my parents and siblings are now grateful for God's work in my life. You know, each time I speak with my siblings, especially my brother, he always says it, that I thank God for who you are now. I thank God for your life. I thank God because, you know, he kept remembering everything I had done in my past, who I was before. And all he could just do, all he could just see is just to thank God. Everyone, you know, everyone around me are now so, so grateful of who I have become. And his love is just so profound in my life. And I am eternally grateful to God. I am so, so happy to be a child of God, to be a daughter of God. You know, I am so happy to be working in his purpose for my life. I am so happy I found myself. I was lost in the world, but he found me. He found me. His grace, his love found me. I have tasted of his goodness, and I can affirm to you, I can confirm it to you that the Lord is good. He is good, and his mercies endures forever. The Lord is merciful. Do not think of your past. Do not think you cannot be accepted. Let me say it to you. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So regardless of your past, regardless of who you are, regardless of whatever you might have done, that you feel maybe God cannot accept you, it's a lie. God is ever willing to receive you and accept you, just as he has received me. The only thing that you should do is to accept him, acknowledge him, and confess him. And just to say it, you know, genuinely, that you're ready to serve him. You're ready to stay with him forever. You will not backslide. You will not go back to, you know, to your old life. Paul was for a very long time, you know, the persecutor of Christians when he was Saul. But he encountered Christ, he encountered him on his way to Damascus, and he became Paul. And look at, you know, the things, the works he did for God. Look at how God used him. So do not think God cannot use you, because there is nobody. The truth is, there is nobody God cannot use. I never thought I could be doing this. I never thought I could, you know, be doing this for God. I never thought I could even do this. But when I found my life in Christ, when I accepted a new life that God offered me, I knew my identity. I knew my purpose, and he granted me that grace and the strength to just walk in it. You see, everything that you're looking for in that world, everything that seems like is good and is, you know, interesting outside God is just for a, you know, very short time. It's just temporary. Because the things of this world will perish in this world. But if you can just step out of your head, if you can just step out of those bad behaviors and just say, God, I accept you, He's willing to receive you. He's willing to receive you and just cleanse you and give you a new name and give you a new life. Just as He gave Saul a new name, he became Paul. Your name might not necessarily change from Israel to Joseph, because I still bear the same Elizabeth. But the Elizabeth I was yesterday is different. You know, the Elizabeth I was some years back is different from the Elizabeth I am now. And this is the Elizabeth I want to stick with and even become better Elizabeth in the nearest future. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and every other thing shall be added. Matthew 6 verse 33 says that the most important thing we should do is to get God. Is to get God. Because the things we run or chase after are the things we can easily get when we, you know, get so intimate with God and when we build our relationship with Him. It is promised that when we have that relationship, when we seek Him only, He's going to give us everything on a platter of gold. You wouldn't have to suffer. You wouldn't have to work hard to get those things, because it will come on a platter of gold. Only if we can stick to Him, obey Him, and serve Him diligently and just focus on Him. But like I said, there is no condemnation. As you have listened, if you are still holding on to your old life, I implore you to let it go and accept the life that God is offering you right now. You can be used by God, and it will surprise you what you will do for Him, because you cannot just think about, you cannot just imagine it. Yes, and it's just the truth. So this is my testimony, and I hope it has blessed you. If not really much, but I actually hope it has blessed you. Thank you so much for listening to my story, and I hope it has really inspired you. Remember that God's goodness is evident and His grace is transformative. You have to believe Him, because that's the most important thing we should do to get God while we are in this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Let the devil be utterly defeated. Let him be put to shame. We cannot afford to follow him. The only person we should follow is God, the Almighty, because He's our Creator. He knows us even before we were born. And He's the only one that we should follow, because He actually knows the right thing for us, and He has just prepared, you know, great things for us, only that we should follow Him and obey Him. And I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So this is my testimony, and I am so happy to have said everything, and I hope it has inspired you. I pray that the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Until next time, stay blessed.